What do you want to say? That's the description of him. He brings the armies of heaven, angelic armies. And also, we will be gathered together to meet the Lord in the air. We will join them. So we will be with him at this point. The dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible, and we who are alive and remain shall be changed. In fact, that pretty much is borne out from everything that's said. But the beast and the kings of the earth, their army, they gather together, okay, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. They are taken captive.
He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints.
And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So they gathered them together into the place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon, and this is the end up. To be fed to the birds, the fowls are going to fill themselves with their flesh. This will happen. Now here we have, they are cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now the lake of fire is also mentioned in the next chapter, after the great white throne judgment, or at that, and that is where death and hell are cast. So what does this mean? They are cast alive in the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Well, that's what it says. They are going to be cast into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. It doesn't say anything more than that. But what are these things? These are the beast and the false prophet. Are these individual human beings? Well, the beast is this great, having seven heads and ten horns. So obviously, that world system is going to be thrown into this lake of fire. This lake of fire is the place where death and hell itself are destroyed. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. The lake of fire is the end of wicked things. It is where they end up. As I talked about before, I believe the lake of fire answers to the place Jesus called Gehenna. The fire is not quenched. It is the place of ultimate burning. And it is sort of, is it a literal place? I guess I'd rather tackle that in the next chapter, because we will have a little more to say about it. Here, it doesn't say much. These are cast into a lake of fire, alive. It doesn't say they stay alive there, but that's really besides the point, because, again, we're talking about a system, and at least the first beast. It could be, though, the system is represented by a single individual. But that seemed to be, as we read it, the false prophet. So,
it could just as easily be that these two systems are represented by one individual, the dragon. And that's the way I would tend to look at it.
I want to be right in all the things that I teach about the scriptures. But as far as this goes, it's the kind of thing I can just sort of accept when I see it. We're talking about symbolic things, the beast and the false prophet being... False prophet, though, seems to be an individual, but it is also a beast. These are representatives of the dragon, the beast, the false prophet, and the dragon. There's a threesome there. Now, in the next part, next chapter, the angel comes down and binds the dragon and throws him into the bottomless pit. And his power is, contained there. But this is the end of the beast, of the beast and the false prophet. They will never be allowed again to deceive the world. So whatever they represent in this world, whatever they are, is going to be gone forever. It's not coming back. Because Satan comes back out of the bottomless pit. But the beast and the false prophet never appear again. Well, they're mentioned later on when the lake of fire, that's where they were cast. So the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, the remnant of that army. I do not think that means every single person in the world, because, like I said, there's things in the scripture that lead me to believe, for one, just the idea that we are going to live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. All right, we're going to reign with him, but who are we going to reign over? Because it says the rest of the dead did not live for another 1,000 years, so it's not like they can come back. So it leaves us with sort of, survivors. There's got to be survivors. God does not intend to wipe out all humanity, I don't believe. the resurrection, the first resurrection, is just for God's elect. It's not for the whole world. In 1 Corinthians 15, I was listening to someone teach that, and they started talking as if it was for everybody. But the context of that passage, you go back to the beginning of the chapter, and throughout, it's only for believers. We shall all be changed. We will all be changed. It's referring to all believers, not all humanity. And I think I made that quite clear when I did that and when I covered the book of 1 Corinthians. So we'll continue that when we go to chapter 20.